As Ginger said, this is the time of year that typically we sit down and talk about what do we want for the new year? What are the things that we want to see different? What are the things that we want to do? We talk about the resolutions that we want and make a plan for the new year, whether that's in our life personally, whether that's spiritually, whether that's physically, emotionally, at our jobs or whatever. We forecast and go, 2024 is going to be what? And most of the time we make those goals, and about March we go, I need to redo these. Or you get to this point of the end of the year and go, man, I failed tremendously at that or this. Driving home yesterday, I was listening to the radio and just listening to worship music. And then one of the DJs said something. He said, I thought long and hard about resolutions. They were talking about this. And he said, what if at the beginning of the year, instead of saying 2024, I want to lose weight, which we all say that, right? As you can tell, that doesn't always go well. What if we were to say, by this time next year, I want to have lost 25 pounds? Instead of just saying, I want to lose weight, let's be specific about it. He says, it got me thinking about things for our life of what is it that the specific goals that I want to accomplish by the end of 2024? And if I had done that in 2023 and I sat today and pulled that list back out, what would I be able to check off and go, I've done this well? Or, man, I really missed the mark here. I joke about it, but usually every year or so, Brian gives us things to think through at the end of the year and to talk about, and we sit down as a staff and usually talk through. The hardest question is always of, what are the mistakes that you made during the year? Because as we don't want to always admit that we did anything wrong. We always like to say, well, I would have done this very well if it wouldn't have been for so-and-so. But I began to think about 2024 and thinking about, man, what if I were to write out, instead of just memorize scripture, I want to really memorize 20 scriptures over the next year that I really know. And not the one that I knew in youth group that's John 11:35, Jesus wept. I mean, I got that one down. That got us through youth camp in the scripture memory contest every year when I was growing up. What if instead of invite someone to church, hey, in this next year, I'm going to invite 5 to 10 people. And even better, I'm going to write down their names today and go, by 2024, I'm going to invite these people to come. Whether it's to a church service like this, to Bible study, to an event that we do as a church, or just to a Sunday school Bible study fellowship at someone's house. Would you be happy today if you had those specific goals for 2023? And what would this next year look like if we were very specific of what goes on? As a church, we've been talking about moments. Surely you've got that by now, I hope. You think they maybe? Who knows? I think so. We've been talking about these moments and moments to have. That we started this, that over 6 years we would have 1 million moments. Okay, we're not at 6 years anymore. We're closing in. We're about halfway there. And I wish I could tell you that I could put the tally board up right now halfway through of how far we are. But really thinking about what is it? And my question is this, have you been noticing on a daily basis the moments that come before you? Have you been noticing the opportunities that God gives you every day? Have you been noticing those more and more to go, hey, in the conversations that God's presenting something to me and I now have a moment before me, how do I respond? Do you sit back and somebody goes, man, did I miss that moment? I can remember as a child and being in youth group growing up in Tyler, Texas, that our youth pastor would always tell us, that I believe that one day, it says in the Bible, we will be held accountable for the things that we do. He said, I have this vision that one day we get to heaven and there's a screen like this and God goes, Chris, well done. Now let me show you some of the things you did really good. And he starts the movie. But then he gets to the point where he says, we'll be held accountable. And here's a few of the things that you missed along the way. And my fear is that I missed those easy moments because I became selfish and said, I don't have time for that right now. And God's up there screaming at me going, just take a little bit longer. So the first question I have is, what if you were to write out specific goals for 2024? How would this next year look different? We're going to look at Nehemiah 1 through 4. That's chapters 1 through 4. When I emailed that out, Luann got really nervous because she thought, I can't put all that scripture on the screen for you. I said, well, if we did 6 font, we might be able to do it, but no one could read it. And she was worried because she thought she'd start typing on Tuesday and still be here typing the things out. But Nehemiah, it has to be appropriate that I tell you the preacher joke that I heard once on making hospital visits here about 9 years ago, that the guy said, who is the shortest man in the Bible? Anybody? Who is the shortest guy in the Bible? Zacchaeus, right? Because Zacchaeus was a wee little man he was, right? No, you're wrong. He said it was Nehemiah. I said, what? He goes, Nehemiah. I should have had to stay for the rim shot, Michael. Sorry. I knew that wouldn't go anywhere. But if you will open Nehemiah chapter 1, we're going to look at some different scriptures and jump around today. And we won't read through everything. But the book of Nehemiah, along with Ezra, tells a parable, if you read through them, for rebuilding lives and building spiritual foundations. Okay? Now, I have to be very honest that I was thinking through some of this a while ago, and every Monday when we have staff meeting, one of us shares a devotion. We sit down at our staff time before we pray, and one of the staff members, we share a devotion. And like any good youth pastor, one day Micah came in and said, I'm going to show a video, which meant he downloaded it right before he walked. No, I'm just joking. No. But he showed this video, and as I sat and watched it, I'd been thinking, because Brian had already asked me about preaching, and I was beginning to think through, and this guy was talking through Nehemiah, and it just began to really hit me in my heart and go, man, that's what I want to talk about. And so this is not the video. I could have just said play, and then we would have been done, Micah. But as I went back through and read through Nehemiah, and I began to look at how it's the parables of building spiritual foundations, it really began to hit me at the end of the year, and we start a new year to look into this. So Nehemiah 1:1-4, I decided to bring my reading glasses up here instead of Ginger's print, because if I brought Ginger's Bible, y'all could read it from the back row if I turned it around. It's so big. It says in chapter 1, starting in verse 1-4, the words of Nehemiah, son of Hakalai, in the month of Kislev, in the 20th year, while I was in the citadel of Susa, Hanai, one of my brothers, came from Judah with some other men. And I questioned them about the Jewish remnant that survived the exile, and also about Jerusalem. They said to me, those who survived the exile and are back in the province are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates have been burned with fire. When I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Nehemiah heard, as it says, from his brother what was happening and what was going on, and it hurt him. So if you looked at the map of Jerusalem and the city, there were walls around it. Why were the walls important to the city of Jerusalem? Protection. See, they do interact. You just have to go like this, Brian. Protection, right? So they had all these walls around the city that were protection for them. And so Nehemiah begins to hear that these walls are destroyed and the people are in danger. And he becomes concerned. It begins to hurt him. He begins to really think, and it says, as it said in verse 4, that he mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. A month ago or so, after Brian had asked me to preach, I was sitting right up there in the front row up where John and Miriam are sitting up there as Brian preached. And as he was preaching, I'd love to tell you I remember exactly the words that you said that hit me, but I don't, sorry. I was sitting over the balcony and looking over the congregation. And it really began to hit me. And as I looked at everyone sitting here on that Sunday morning, began to think, why is it everyone is sitting here in our sanctuary at First Baptist Church? Why did you pick First Baptist? I totally agree with everything Ronnie said. Great church. And I don't just say that because I work here. But you people make our church great. You are so incredible. But as I sat there and I began to think of families, even some that have since, because of jobs, left our church, that lived in other cities and drove here and passed multiple Baptist churches on their way to come and worship here. And I began to think, why? Why is it that First Baptist? The very next week, Katie, our communications director, posted on Facebook a picture that said, why do you call First Baptist home? Or how long have you called it home? And over a week or so, I was amazed at the responses. If you're not on Facebook, listen to this. How long have you called FBC home? Here's some of them. 17 years, 26, 19, 31, 11, 12, 18, 31, 24, 52, 33, 28, 45, 62, 41, 43, 77, and on went on. And that doesn't even mention some of them that are on here, that there are people that have taught children's Sunday school in our church for over 50 years. They've taught a whole family through the nursery. That is incredible. It tells me that there is something going on. My first point and my question is, just like Nehemiah was concerned, do we care enough to want to do something great? We can easily say something great is going on. Corpus Christi, a revival could break out. And I've always said this is bigger than First Baptist Church. We're talking kingdom impact here. But the question becomes, as I sat up there and began to think, and I thought of this the other day, was, do we care enough to really want to do something great? Do you want me to read those years again to you? 52, 77, 62. What is it? Nehemiah saw what was happening in Jerusalem, and God gave him a calling to do something about it. He moved him to go. Something needs to be done. What can you do? What are you going to do about it? It's easy to sit back and think about the things and think, you know what? Somebody else will do that. That's not for me. But I want to challenge you to say, if God lays something on your heart, don't run away from it. And Brian wants it to be very clear. Stephen is leading running for God, not running from God on Sunday nights. But what is it that God has laid on your heart to want to do? The vision for our church and the moments about the church is that God has called FBC to do something great in our community. And like I said, and other people, you heard it today, people know about our church and they say great things because they know the great things that are going. You know, in those years that I mentioned of people that have been here, I didn't even mention that is none of the years of the staff. You want to know one of the coolest things? That when I first came here to the church and people started telling me and they heard that I'd interviewed here, was you're going to a loving church and you're going to a church that has an incredible staff because they've been here. And I'm going to tell y'all, and you know this, that is not the norm. When I was in San Antonio as a youth pastor, I was there for 8 years. When I would go to conferences and tell people, how long have you been a youth pastor at your church? 6, 7, 8 years. The first thing they would say was, at one church? Yeah. Johnny's been here over 25 years. Almost 25 years. Ginger's been here. She started when she was like 10, though, so don't worry about it. When I came, Mark was here. Steve was here. There was stability. And as somebody coming in, I looked and went, there's something awesome and incredible going on at that church that those people want to be there and serve. So my question to you is, do you care enough to want to do something great? Because it has to be all of us. It can't just be some of us. We're all in this together. I'll get back to that in a minute. We're all in this together. And then we go to Nehemiah 5 through 11, and it says his prayer. Then I said, O Lord, God of heaven, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and obey his commands. Let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer your servant is praying before you day and night for your servants, the people of Israel. I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my father's house, have committed against you. We have acted very wickedly toward you. We have not obeyed the commands, decrees, and laws you gave your servant Moses. Remember the instruction you gave your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and obey my commands, then even you, even your exiled people, are at the farthest horizon. I will gather them from there and bring them to the place I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. They are your servants and your people, whom you redeemed by your great strength and your mighty hand. O Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of this your servant and to the prayer of your servants who delight in revering your name. Give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man. I was the cupbearer to the king. Do you commit when God lays something on your heart to do something great to really pray about it? And when I say really pray about it, I mean really pray about it. Not the typical prayer that sometimes we do at church. When someone says one week, hey, will you pray for me? And you're like, yeah. And you're like, probably me. Sometimes you get busy during the week and then you show up at church and you see him across the parking lot as you're walking in the building. You go, oh God, please, Lord, please be with Johnny and them. He asked me to pray last week. Or do we really get on our knees? You know how long Nehemiah prayed for this? You know how many months he spent in prayer? I'm no biblical historian or Greek or Hebrew, but it says in 1:1, in the month of Kislev, in the 20th year. If you go to chapter 2, verse 1, it says, in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year. Nehemiah spent about 4 months praying this prayer before he went to start the wall in Jerusalem and rebuild. He spent 4 months just praying out this plan that God had laid on his heart. I imagine him on his knees just going, God, give me the confidence, give me the will, let me do what you want to do, not what I want to do. You've laid this on my heart. What is it? Do we really spend that time praying? And if you look at verse 11 at the end, the confidence. He says, oh Lord, let your ear be attentive to this prayer of this your servant and to the prayer of your servants who delight in receiving your name. Give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man. If you go on and read through chapter 2, it says at the end that he was a cupbearer. He was a servant to the king. And in chapter 2, he goes to the king and he asks the king permission. Can I have permission to go and do this? I've heard about this and my heart is breaking and it's just that this wall and these people need to be protected. If you go back and read through that prayer that I just read in verses 5 through 11, you hear that he spends time praying for those people to be protected. And then for him, he confesses his sins and says, we have done things against you. I admit it. Forgive us. But he goes to the king in chapter 2 and he says, can I have permission to be gone to do this? The king asks him, how long are you going to be gone? And then he begins to go through and he says, by the way, while I'm gone, could you give me some letters of recommendation, basically? That's not what it says. That's more the message version, okay? But he says, because as I travel, I'm going to go through these different areas and I want to be able to tell them that you gave me permission to be here. And also, I'm going to need some stuff along the way. And the king says, sure. And then Nehemiah begins to go out. And he travels to get to the plan that God has laid on his heart. Now, he has a plan. It's laid on his heart. So what typically happens when you start making an impact for the kingdom of Christ? The enemy comes up. So don't be surprised by resistance when it comes. Chapter 4, verses 1 through 2, it says, when Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, he became angry and greatly incensed. He ridiculed the Jews. In the presence of his associates in the army of Samaria, he said, what are these feeble Jews doing? Will they restore their wall? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they finish in a day? Can they bring the stones back to life from those rubble, burned as they are? If you go on and read through chapter 4, you see the Jews are beginning to really get frustrated, and they're worried that they're going to face resistance and they're going to be attacked. My youth pastor always told me this, that when you begin to make an impact for Christ, Satan is going to try to attack you. I grew up playing sports. Every sport I played, especially in basketball in high school, we always talked about before the game. We know the guy on the other team we have to stop is this number. Pay attention to this guy. If we lose because the other guy over there scores 20 points, that's fine. We're not going to let this guy get 20 points on us. We had a person to focus on. And my youth pastor used to tell me, when you begin to make an impact for Christ, Satan's going to attack you. When I was a young minister and things started to go sideways, I got very nervous and panicked and thought, oh, what have I done wrong? What do I got to do to fix this? Then as I began to mature, I guess, not really mature, get older, let's just say, because you that know me are probably like, yeah, we're not sure you're mature. I began to see that God was beginning to work. Satan was trying to attack, and when things started to go a little bit sideways, I got excited because I was like, all right, God, I'm going to step back and see how you use me to fix this problem. When we begin to make an impact, we will face resistance. Be ready for that. It goes back to the prayer. And then we go to chapter 3, and I'm not going to read through chapter 3. I'm going to go over here and bring my props out as I talk. If you go through chapter 3, Nehemiah begins to just talk about the builders of the wall. The whole chapter, he talks entirely and lists out names of everybody that helped rebuild the wall. Pretty amazing. Nehemiah could have easily have said, I may have too many bricks, Ginger. Nehemiah could have easily said, hey, I did this. God laid this on my heart. And I really led all these people to do this. But instead, he gave thanks to all those people. So my challenge, or my point, I guess, is in 2024, you're going to help people build their wall. We talked about that Nehemiah at the beginning, I said, is really a parable of a spiritual foundation. We just sang a song, Cornerstone. It said the cornerstone is Christ for those that are weak. What is the cornerstone in a building? It's the cornerstone, right? Pretty brief, pretty brilliant name, right? That sits, that holds all the weight. The song we just sang said, God is the cornerstone for those that are weak that makes us strong. That when we feel weak, we lean on him. So what does it mean to be a builder of the wall? Some of these names mean absolutely nothing to you. And I might get emotional doing this, so I apologize. But I think this is what it looks like when we talk about building the wall. We talk about my mom and my dad. These aren't people that always taught me spiritual things, but prepared me for my life and also prepared me for spiritual things. I talk about Eddie Cantu, who is a youth minister at Green Acres, Bob Billups, Jim Anderson, Kyle Hardy, Sunday school teachers of mine, my grandmother, Miss Hines, my kindergarten teacher, who I went back and saw till I was in high school. I was a big Aggie fan growing up. My kids got there, I never did. She was the biggest Baylor fan in the world. I will never forget when Baylor and A&M played my kindergarten year, I made a friendly wager with her and I had to wear a Baylor shirt to school. And my loving kindergarten teacher made sure everybody in the school knew about it. But how do we begin to build those walls? It's a spiritual foundation, right? Mike Thomas, Bobby Smith, Craig McAdams, David Reed, Brad Lankford, Grant Goodrow. Andrew Haywood, Mama and Papa Haywood, when I was in college, got me through some tough times. When my dad passed away, they helped me. Luckily, I went to college and met my greatest thing ever, my loving bride. My kids that have taught me so much and encouraged me. The staff that I worked with at Sherry Hills, from Kelly Parrish to Phil Sitton to Dal Loftus to Roger Taff to the Ronnie Marriotts to Brian Hill to Steve Hartwick to Mark Nichols to Ginger Andrews to Micah Roddy to Corey Morgan to John Campione and to you guys as a people at First Baptist Church. We talked about building a wall was protection for a city. We have to build our spiritual walls. And really the challenge that I have is, how will God use you in the new year? We all have to play a part. I don't know what your role is. Let me just tell you, January and February coming up, we start upward basketball, as Ginger said. January 20th, our first game start. We'll have help that we need at the snack bar to come love on our community as they come into our rec center. February, Disciple Now takes place for our youth. I don't know what Micah needs. I probably should have asked him. But there are things that need to help build the foundation, to help encourage our students and allow them to begin to form their spiritual foundation. And some of those that have a spiritual foundation continue to build their walls to strengthen them. In the summer, we have youth camp, VBS, kids camp going on. You may go, I can't go to any of those. I'm not going to youth camp. I'm not going to kids camp. Commit to pray for them right now. Not when it happens. Start praying for it now. You can help in January with kids camp. Next Sunday night, we're going to have a soup cook-off. And you can come put all your money that you want and help raise money to support those kids that come in my bowl so I win. Oh, sorry. June 11th through the 18th, we'll go back to the Dominican Republic and spend a week down there doing ministry. You've heard about this. And I asked Brian that I could say this. I'm not going to tell you anything that I don't know yet. But sometime in 2024, we are going to relaunch our modern service. Mainly because we hired a guy named Corey Morgan that's our modern worship leader. So it probably makes sense to have a modern worship service. But we're going to need volunteers to help with that. These screens and these things don't just change on their own. And when people come in the front door, we have to greet them. Would you want to come to a church if you walked up and no one was at the door and you walked in and went, what do I do and where do I go? You'd find it the first week, but you're probably not coming back. We need people out there to greet them for both services, during the Bible study time afterwards, to say, we are glad you are here. How will God use you in the new year? We all have a part to play. When I was a sophomore in high school, I played trumpet in the band. I know that shocks y'all. Johnny's always tried to get me. I played once with Lloyd. We played in the balcony at La Palmera Mall for a flash mob once. I've never been asked to play again, but that's okay. I'm not hurt, Johnny. But we were at marching competition, ironically, at Stephen F. Austin State University in Nacogdoches, where I later went to school. Ask some jacks, Joe and Mary. And I'll never forget, we were marching, and one girl turned on the wrong yard line. And I'm just going to tell you, from that way out, it was total chaos. We later went back and watched our video that our band director had. And I don't know what formation we were supposed to be in, but that was not it. We encouraged our band director to send that to America's Funniest Home Videos because we had people running into each other. One girl ran about 15 yards and pushed a girl out of her spot so she could be back where she was supposed to be. And as I sit with the privilege of my kids, on the times that I've been there at Kyle Field to watch the core march, and how precise, and if one person turned wrong, chaos would ensue. Guys, we all have a part to play. We all have a part to make this great. We're talking about a spiritual foundation to help people in Corpus build upon. So I hope 2024 will be a year for you to go, what role do I play in helping others build their wall for the protection, to show others who Christ is, to build that spiritual foundation. And as a church, we begin to impact our city. I don't know what 2024 holds for you, but I hope that you'll listen to what God has for you and that you'll spend time in prayer when he calls and lays something on your heart of how do you help others build their wall. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity we have just to be in your presence today, Lord. Lord, I thank you for all the people in my life that are represented by these bricks that are right here. Lord, I thank you for all the people that are in this room. And Lord, I ask that you will just open our ears and our hearts and our minds to what you have for us for 2024. I don't know what that means, but that you will give us a calling to really impact others for you and encourage them to build on their spiritual foundation and make those foundations strong. Lord, open our hearts and minds to you in 2024. It's in your wonderful name that we pray. Amen.